Last Sunday, we had Pastor Peggy Kennedy just come up to exhort us, and she gave a word. Does anybody remember? Good. In the midst of a lot of things that the Lord was doing last Sunday, and isn't God faithful Sunday after Sunday? You know, He shows up and He touches our hearts and He speaks to us and He communicates. And so we had, many things happening. Just quickly even run through, you know. And it's interesting because some things we speak from here and then people come and confirm that this is what they saw, this is what they heard, this is what the Lord said, you know. And so I had these, the vision of ladders floating, you know, just above the heads of the people. And it was just moving from person to person. There were many ladders. And there was this invitation to come up higher, you know, that there was the access was there for us to go in deeper with the things of God. And then we had the sense of clouds of God, like the presence of God and mist and, you know, of heaven and just a whole lot of things that God was doing in our hearts. And we had a significant word that Pastor Gavin preached. But I said last Sunday that I will give you more clarity about what I thought. When I brought a word about the voice, God is waiting to hear your voice. And that all of heaven was waiting to find the match, if I can say. And then later I got this thought that I was struggling for words. It's like, you know, your fingerprints. When you look for a finger, when you have a fingerprint, only you can have that. No one else in the whole world has that. And even your voice has a certain signature in the realm of the frequencies. You know, there is a certain signature that only your voice, it's unique to you. And heaven has decreed some things over you. And those words and those decrees were looking to find the match. It's like scanning to find your fingerprint. And so as we speak, you know, I mean, things of the prophetic happen in a moment, you know. And so as I felt like the Lord was saying, as you speak, and I said, no matter what you say, just speak out something to God so that your voice can be heard. And that voice, as it goes into the atmosphere, the decrees that have already been made, lands, recognizes, finds the match for the voice that you have raised, you know, and settles there, and something's happened, something's click in the realm of the spirit. So think of it like a fingerprint, you know, that heaven was looking to find your match, you know, about the decrees, destiny words that had been spoken over you. So Sister Peggy brought a word, and she said, God spoke and said that I have not forgotten your seed. And then she said, it is time to change your swords into plowshares. And I knew that was a heavy word. And so right away I said, I will be preaching about it next Sunday. And so that's what I'm going to talk about today very quickly. So the word of the Lord to us was, God was saying, I have not forgotten your seed. And it is time to beat your swords into plowshares. So I'll take that as two different parts, and I'll give a little bit of explanation on that. When God says He has not forgotten your seed, what does that even mean? Is it possible for God to ever forget? I remember one time I talked about God remembered Noah, and my nephew came up to me later and said, but does God ever forget? Why would He need to remember? Does that mean that God forgot? Right? But we know that some of these terminologies just mean it is time. When the scripture says God remembered Noah, it doesn't mean that He ever forgot Noah. It just means it was time for God to act. That's the timeline of God, and there are times and seasons for everything. So when God spoke to us and said, you know, that I have remembered your seed, or the actual word was, I have not forgotten your seed. So I want you to think of a few things. What does the seed even mean? Because sometimes when we talk about seed, mostly everybody thinks of money, right? But there's a lot of things that the Bible talks about the seed. First of all, Bible refers to children as seed. Your descendants, your children. You know, I mean, if you look, starting from the seed of Adam, we talk about the seed of Abraham, we talk about the seed of David, which is Jesus, right? So seed was referring to actual descendants or children. Okay, so that's one form of seed. Then the Bible talks about life itself, our life as a seed. You know how we know that? Because the Bible talks about referring to the life of Jesus. And he himself said, he said, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies. We have a picture in our mind of this little corn seed or, you know, wheat seed, which is also all right. But he was talking about his own life, right? So our life is a seed. When the martyrs, you know, who are martyred for the sake of the kingdom or the gospel, you know, actually that is a seed that goes to the ground, out of which a great harvest and revival comes. But anyway, so life is a seed. Money, obviously, we know money is a seed, and Paul makes many references to that, whether it's Philippians chapter 4 or 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10, we're not going there. But money is a seed, right? Because the Bible says you sow it. So as you remember, everything that is a seed or parallel to a seed are things that can be sown. You understand? Seed is we don't eat the seed, we sow the seed. You understand? So that when God says, you know, I have not forgotten your seed, I want you to remember these are things that we have sown. Things that we have sown. All right. So children can be a seed. Life can be a seed. All this is potential. It doesn't mean every life is a seed. Because until we sow it, it doesn't become a seed. So anyway, well, let's come to it. Money as a seed. Righteousness. Hosea 10:12 says, sow righteousness for yourselves. Right? So righteousness can be a seed. The word of God, which is really everybody knows about that. Jesus talked about, I think it's Matthew 13, where he talks about the parable of the sower. And he says the sower went, you know, scattered the seed. And then he gives the meaning of the parable and he says the seed is the word of God. Right? And also it's in First Peter chapter 1 verse 23 says, you have been born again by that imperishable seed of the word of God that has come into you. Right? So, and then we have good deeds as a seed. The Bible talks about good deeds. You know, in Acts, I think it is chapter 12, Cornelius, you know, he wasn't even a believer. He wasn't a Jew, but he had been doing good deeds and he had been praying. And then an angel comes to him and says, hey, Cornelius, God has heard your prayers and seen what you have given. And so now I'm coming. It was a seed that was sown that God responded to him and salvation came to the entire Gentile group because of that. And then we know that there are many things in the spirit realm. All of the things of the spirit realm can be a seed. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 11, Paul mentions that he's talking about himself and the other apostles. He says, if we have sown a spiritual seed among you, then we have a right to expect a harvest from you. Right? So that means spiritual seed can be sown. What does that look like? You will see. Whatever it is that you take, whether it's, you know, love, whether it's hope, all of the spiritual aspects, joy, peace, righteousness we already saw. All of those can be a seed. Encouragement can be a seed. You know, Paul writes to the Corinthians and says, when I come to you, you know, I will come and impart something to you that will be of use to you. And so there are things in the spirit realm that when we meet, we know that when Jonathan met David, he encouraged him. Right? So there are things, that's a seed. So there are spiritual seeds. I want you to think of something. When God says, I have not forgotten your seed, that means, I want you to remember, whatever you have done unto him, whatever things that you have sown, God says, I have not forgotten that. You know, that includes, like, if you're like me and I encourage you in things of the spirit, you know, just be aggressive like me. As soon as I heard that word, I said, God, I want that word seed in every form, in every applicable way. I'm claiming that you have not forgotten. Hallelujah. That means he has not forgotten your son or your daughter that you've been praying for. That means he's not forgotten the prayers that you've prayed when you prayed over your children. That means he's not forgotten the things that you did for others. That means when he says, you know, the seed in the form of life, that means, you know, sometimes it's life is not just about dying like physical death. But when you have said no to the things of the enemy, when you have said yes to the things of God and it cost you things, that is sowing your life into the kingdom. That is sowing your life for the sake of God. So when God says, I have not forgotten your seed, you have to remember all of the sacrifices that you made, all of the things that you gave up for the sake of righteousness, the times that you said no, the times that you said no to the right things and yes to the right things. All of those was a seed, and God says, I have not forgotten your seed. And so that's a very encouraging thing, my brothers and sisters. Every little thing. You know, the other, a few months ago, God blessed me with, I had a particular need, a specific need. Well, maybe it was over a year ago. I had a specific need and I prayed, and God blessed me way more than I asked him for. It was a financial thing. And so I asked the Lord, and it came from a very unexpected source. I said to the Lord, why would you be so good to me? Like, why would I don't even need this much. I asked you only for this much. Like, why? And then I felt the chuckle of the Holy Spirit, you know, and I heard him clearly. He said, do you remember way back, and I'm trying to remember how many years ago was it? Maybe more than 35 years ago. Now you can start guessing my age. No, he said, first year of university, and I remember this as first year university, I was in the residence. And we would go for food, you know, and they would be serving food for us in the, it's not cafeteria, it's a residence food place, you know. And there was, all these guys will serve us, you know, food. And this one guy was always whistling, always smiling, always, you know, and everybody loved him, and he would say hi to all of the students. And one day I saw that he had a really sad countenance, very sad look. He wasn't whistling. He was just, and so I asked him, what's happening? And he said, he was a believer, by the way. That's how I knew him. So I asked him what happened. And he told me about, you know, this real issue that he had in his home, that his sister was getting married and they were really cringing for money. And there was a certain, you know, amount that, anyway, he was praying about, and like, I'm a student, and those days we didn't work. We didn't have an opportunity to work. So I'm depending on my parents every month, the money that they send. And so I have very little in my budget. But, you know, I gave him a small amount, okay? And this is Indian rupees, so you won't even believe how much it was, how small it was. I gave him just out of the, you know, whatever I had left over, you know, I just gave it to him, and he never after that thought about it. And, you know, I graduated, I moved away, never. I can't even remember the guy's name, honestly. I can remember his face. I can't remember his name. I never remembered him or thought about it ever. 35 or 36 years later, a time when I had the need. You know what the Holy Spirit said? I heard him chuckle. I said, why would you give me this? He said, you remember a seed was sown 35 years ago. Actually, it was 400 rupees. So that's like, how many dollars would it be? I don't know, $10? 20? Yeah, something like $20. But it was so what I'm saying is, I didn't even say, God, I'm sowing this seed, I'm doing this. No, nothing. It was just, but see, here's the thing about seed. I want you to know, whether it's money, whether it's love, whether it's hope, whether it's encouragement, whatever it is, a seed never leaves your life. It only leaves your hands. Come on, can you say amen again to that? A seed always only leaves your wallet or your hand. It never leaves your life. Because it always comes back. That's just the principle of God. You don't even have to be a Christian for that. Because that's just a biblical principle. That's just a law, a natural law and a spiritual law. So when God says, I have remembered your seed, to me, God is saying, listen, everything that you did for the sake of the kingdom, everything that you did in my name, everything that you did with joy, with hope, with, you know, like so many things. And some of you have been people who have been, very hospitable. Hospitality. You've just rendered hospitality. And, you know, you've been kind. You've forgiven. Listen, forgiveness is a seed. Because Jesus said, remember? He taught us to pray. Forgive us. As we forgive those. Right? And the other thing about seed is that it always comes, you never get back one seed for one. You can sow 400 rupees and you can reap thousands of dollars. You get the picture. That's just how it is. One seed falls to the ground, you get a harvest. It's always, that's the principle of God. So when God spoke to us, because I know that was the word of the Lord. I know Peggy. I know she's a prophetess of national importance. She gives a word and it is true. It is right. So God was saying, I have not forgotten your seed. And so I want you to be encouraged this morning. I want you to know that everything that you've done for the sake of the kingdom, everything that you did out of love for the Lord, everything that you did out of your zeal and passion for kingdom purposes and for God and for all that He has called you to do, every little thing. The mama that stayed home, that sacrificed her career and stayed home, all the years that you invested, it is a seed. It is a seed. Hallelujah. I was talking about everything that is sown. Now, a lot of the times, you know, we don't sow our children per se. What happens is when we've dedicated our children, we've given them over to God, and we say, this is your child. It is a seed that we have sown. We've released them from our own plans and purposes. And we say, let your plan and your purpose prevail. So everything, whether it's descendants, whether it's money, whether it's hope, love, spiritual aspects, whether it's righteousness, whatever it is a seed. And God says, I have not forgotten your seed. Especially the word of God. All those days when you read the word and it wasn't even interesting. Been there. But every time you dragged yourself to church, even when you didn't want to, you were sowing into fellowship. You were sowing into obedience because Jesus said, do not forsake the gathering together of the saints. Every time when you had to stand in the lineup for the bus and you're waiting for the bus and the bus didn't come and you're thinking, it's raining or it's cold, why am I even going to church? No one even says hello to me. Whatever it is. But you made the sacrifice, you made the choice, you made the decision to come to church, you made the decision to respond when a word was given. That means you've embraced the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every time you read the word, every time you made a choice to listen to the word of God or to read the word of God, you have sown the word into your own lives and you will reap. God says, I have not forgotten your seed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, there is something here though. We want to make sure that we are not people who, because we don't see the harvest sometimes, we don't see the results, we become hardened, if I can say. If I can have that verse, Malachi chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. I just felt that I needed to bring this scripture. It says, God is speaking now, okay? He says, you have spoken arrogantly against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? Right? Now watch what we said. Verse 14. You have said, it is futile to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? And you call the arrogant blessed? Certainly evildoers prosper, and even when they put God to the test, they get away with it. So God is quoting back what we talk, what we say. So God was telling them, you have spoken arrogantly about me. And then they said, but how did we speak arrogantly about you? I have not sworn or I have not said anything arrogantly about God. And God is reminding, hey, when you said that it is futile to serve the Lord, when you said, the wicked get blessed and those evildoers prosper, what's the point in serving the Lord? That is talking arrogantly about the Lord. You know why? Because we have not yet seen the harvest. And so we make a judgment call. We judge God's righteousness. We say, what's the point in serving God? See, here, this happens sometimes to people. This is not a new thing. Obviously, this has happened in the days of the old. Israel did this. And God was saying, when we say that it is futile to serve the Lord, when we entertain that kind of conversation, when we look and envy the wicked and say, well, they're getting away with all kinds of stuff. Right? All that kind of conversation is actually arrogant conversation about God, and God is offended about it. And I'm connecting this to the seed because this kind of conversation happens only when we've lost sight that there is a harvest that is to come. When we've lost sight of the fact that everything that we sow, right? We are going there now. Galatians, let's look at Galatians chapter 6. It says, verse 7, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. God will never be mocked because whatever we sow, we will reap. I want us to stop here for a moment and think about it. God said, whatever you sow, you will reap. And don't be deceived into thinking that I've been sowing and sowing and nothing is happening. That's the arrogant conversation that Malachi was talking, God was talking in Malachi. You know, and don't you dare even think that I can do this and get away with it. I'll get something else. Don't be surprised if you plant oranges and then go and look for apples. Where's the apple? Whatever it is that you sow, you will reap. If you sow gossip, you will get it sometime, multiplied many times over. Someone else will be doing that about you. If you sow unforgiveness, not only from others, but even from God, it's a dangerous territory. Whatever you sow, you will reap. And then it says, whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And then he says, let us not become weary in doing good. Don't become tired of doing good, whatever the good is. Right? Whether it's being kind to people, whether it's reading your scripture, whether it is just being obedient, you know, whether it's showing honor, whatever it is. He says, let us not become weary in doing good or in doing the right thing, because at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't quit. If we don't quit. Can you tap someone and say, don't quit? God has not forgotten your seed. It's not going anywhere. In fact, in Isaiah 55, I believe it's verse 10 and 11, it talks about, you know, God's word. It's like cyclical. He says, it's like my word that goes out, you know, like rain. It goes into the ground. It produces the crop. It produces a harvest and then goes back up and comes back down again. It keeps going. It's a cycle. And so don't lose heart. Don't give up. Hallelujah. So God has not forgotten your seed. Don't give up. You will reap a harvest. That's what I want to encourage you. So the second part of the prophecy of Sister Peggy was, it is time to beat your swords into plowshare and your spears into pruning hooks. Now, some of you may not know, but it is a scripture. It's found two times in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 2 verse 4 and Micah chapter 4 verse 3 is the exact same scripture. So if we can put Isaiah chapter 2 verse 4, this sentence comes just in between there. See? It says, they will beat their swords into plowshare. And the next, go on. And their spears into pruning hooks. Thank you. So, the Holy Spirit took out that phrase from the middle of that scripture, saying they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Now, I know for the modern generation, if you don't know plowshares, I was actually trying to see, how can I explain this? I wanted to do visual with plowshare. Basically, it's whatever you use, an equipment that is used for plowing, right? And pruning hooks are basically little hook-like knives that's used to cut the grapes, you know, harvest grapes when it's ready. You can take that off, Nicholas. So let's bring this back to focus. So the word was, God has not forgotten your seed. It is now time to beat your swords into plowshares and your spears into pruning hooks. In other words, they're saying, God, you've sown a seed. God has not forgotten it. And the reason why he was saying that, the idea is that it is harvest time now. Because swords and spears are weapons of warfare. That's what is used in the battlefield. That's what is used to fight against each other. Whereas plowshares and pruning hooks are agricultural terms. It's about sowing and reaping. It's used for plowing the field. It's used for harvesting. So essentially God was saying, it is harvest time. Hey, I have not forgotten your seed in whatever form. Now make the preparation to get the harvest. Make the preparation. Whatever it is that you have, whatever, even see these offensive weapons, whether it's the sword, whether it is the spear, and whether it is, you know, all of the stuff that's, whatever you have and whatever offensive things that are there, now is the time to change it all. Beat it out, it says. Beat your swords into plowshares. Melt it. Beat it down. Shape it. Whatever you need to do, use it as an object that will help with the harvest. You have a spear? Hey, cut it down, melt it, reshape it. Now make it into a pruning hook. Get ready. I have not forgotten your seed. You're going to be harvesting real soon. This is what he was saying when the word of God says that beat your swords into plowshares. Make them agricultural because it is God's time for harvest. So very quickly, I just want to say four things about what do we do during harvest, if it's harvest. So how do we make the plowshares and how do we make the pruning hooks? Because we are not talking about literal thing, you know. Go home, Google and find out the pruning hook. Basically, you know, it's just agricultural stuff. But those are things that are necessary for harvest. So how do we do it? Number one, don't sleep during the harvest. Primary thing. You cannot harvest if you're asleep. If we can have that scripture, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 5. It says that a disgraceful son falls asleep during harvest. He who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. We are sons of God. Come on. And if we are found sleeping during harvest, I'm talking about a season. Season. I'm not talking about church time, you know, the 2 hours. You might doze off. Happens something. Can you tap someone and say, wake up? Or slap somebody and say, wake up? Don't sleep during the harvest. No, we're talking about a season. A season. This is a season where everything that was sown, not just by us, but over the ages, what has been sown is coming into a great harvest. So during harvest time, a son cannot be sleeping. We need to stay awake. Be aware. Be awake. Stay in step with the Spirit. The second thing about it is that don't miss God's timing. Don't miss God's timing. John chapter 4 verse 35. Jesus, I believe Pastor Sejan spoke about the Samaritan woman. Right? Jesus said, you know, people would say, there is a time, right? In the natural. Such a season is harvest season. Then it will be rain. Then it will be this. Then it will so. Jesus was saying, hey, I know there is a time which everybody thinks is harvest time. So he was saying, don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They're ripe, ready for harvest. So Jesus was saying, he was saying it in the context of the Samaritan woman getting saved and all of that, that it's time for the Gentiles. Don't say that another time. But bottom line, the idea was Jesus was saying, don't settle in your own mind what used to be in the past. What is the pattern? Don't say, oh, there's 4 more months. Don't postpone it. Because if you're in the Spirit, you'll know that it is harvest. He says, open your eyes and look. Look around. There's harvest ready and ripe. That's why Jesus said, he didn't say pray for the harvest. He said pray for the laborers. Right? There's low-hanging fruits all around us. And God has called us to partner with him. So, don't miss God's timing. Don't think, well, maybe 4 months or maybe next year. Maybe when my kids grow up. Maybe after I get a job. Maybe after I move. Maybe after I buy my own house. Whatever it is that we put, don't say 4 more months. Don't say after some time. Maybe after this and after that. God says no. Lift up your eyes and look. The harvest is ready, ripe, now. Now is the season. Ha. And something else about the harvest is that it will be a time of joy and a time of excellent favor. So if we can just continue the verse there after 35. Jesus is saying, even now, the one who reaps draws the wage and harvests a crop of eternal life so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. The sower and the reaper may be glad together. There is joy in harvesting. And then the cool part about it is that there is great favor during the season of harvest. Do you know why? Because we get to also reap what we didn't sow. Can we go to the next verse? It says, thus the saying, one sows and another reaps is true. And then verse 38, I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. How cool is that? How cool is that? That doesn't call for us to be lazy. Remember, I spoke last time about if you do your part, God will add on what others have done and what others have not kept, not done. So God will add favor in the time of harvest. That he will not only give us our harvest, but also, he says, what you have not sown, you will benefit, you will reap. Hallelujah. And the fourth thing is that there's always the final thing about the harvest is that, see, there is a system of the world, you know, you sow, you get, you do, you go. But in the prophetic realm, there is a different system. God says these are accelerated times. So you watch what's happening here, okay? I want you to put Amos chapter 9, verse 13. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when the reaper will be overtaken by the plowman and, let's continue, and the planter by the one treading grapes, new wine will drip from the mountains and flow from all the hills. Okay, so what does this say? It says the days are coming and the reaper will be overtaken by the plowman. I want you to think about it. Someone who's reaping will be overtaken by the plowman. What does that even mean? That means there'll be so much of accelerated growth that by the time you're reaping, you know, someone else is plowing already because they've finished reaping and the plowing season has started. By the time you're plowing, the reaper will overtake because you're still sowing and then, you know, you're reaping. There'll be an overlap. Here's the thing. It's not about one or the other. Oh, I'll be doing. It's just that it's happening so fast. While you sow, you will reap. As you reap, you will sow. There'll be such an overlap. The season of harvest will be so bountiful. Listen, just get started on it because, you know, we don't stop sowing. We keep sowing, we keep reaping, and you keep reaping, and it'll be overtaken. And then in that same verse, it says, the planter will be overtaken by the one who's treading grapes. After the grape is harvested, they used to tread the grapes to get the wine out. So while the wine is being produced, the planter, the one who's planting, will be overtaken by the treader. That means it'll be just, you won't have time for the season finish, next season start. No. It'll be an overlap. There'll be so much bounty that while you're doing this, something else will overtake you. Surely goodness and mercy will overtake you. God said that many times, that the goodness of God will overtake us. The word of God will overtake us. So while we're walking in obedience, while we're continuing to do what God has called us to do, there'll be an acceleration of all the things that have happened in the past that have been stagnant, that have been delayed. There'll be an acceleration, and that we will enjoy the bounty that comes from an abundant harvest. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to close with this. You know, last Sunday evening we started it was Rosh Hashanah. Last Sunday evening started from sundown to the next 2 days till Tuesday evening. The 2 days was Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. And we entered the year 5780 according to Hebraic calendar, right? And in the Hebrew calendar, every decade has a Hebrew alphabet that represents that decade. So we just finished the 70s according to the Hebrew, 5770 onwards to 79, we finished that. That it's always represented by a letter. And so the past decade. So this past Sunday, Monday, we entered into a new decade. 5780, the 80s we've entered. So the past decade, the letter that represented the 70s in that year was the Hebrew letter Ayin, and the Hebrew letters alphabet always has a symbol. It's not just like we have A, B, C, D. They have a symbol for each letter. So the past decade, the symbol of Ayin was the eye, the seeing. And so there was a great release of prophetic visions, like people would see, and that was what was happening. You know, a great seeing realm was opened up, and people saw in the spirit realm. When I say people, I'm talking about the people of God, more than ever before. But with the start of 5780 in the 80s, the 80 letter is symbolized or characterized by the letter, Hebrew letter Pei, right? And Pei actually is for the mouth or the tongue or the opening. That's how it's, you know, you also write it that way. So it looks like that, and that's the meaning. And Hebraically, we have entered or gone into now, started a decade of declarations, of speaking. So now it's not that the other thing is gone and we don't need it. Now we have matured into seeing, and the seeing has to result now in declaring. The seeing has to now result in speaking. We see, we hear, and then we speak it out. We make declarations. Now, here's the thing. When God created the earth, how did he do it? He spoke, and it came to be. And then he calls us as co-creators with him. He calls us as co-laborers. And so now, it's not like the name and claim what I'm talking about. It's not just declaring whatever we want or wish or... We are those who want to be hearing God, who see what's happening. As Jesus said, I see what my Father is doing and I do it. Right? I hear what my Father is speaking and I speak only that which I hear. So we want to be those people. But it is going to be a time where everything to do with declarations are going to play a key role in our lives. A decade. We have entered into that. So we want to be careful how we sow. This is where I want to tie it in. How are we going to sow with regard to the words of our mouth? Right? Because life and death are in the power of the tongue. God calls us to come to a greater intimacy with him so that we can know his heart, we can see what he's doing, we can hear what his voice is saying, and then we can agree with it on earth and declare things, decree things, and establish some things by our words. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So could you stand up for a minute now? I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up and close in a song. I want you to think about all those things that you've prayed about. You know, your tears are a seed. If those tears were shed in prayer, your prayers are a seed. Your giving is a seed. Everything that you've done in secret for the sake of the kingdom, this is the season that it'll be manifested, because a seed dies in hiddenness, but a harvest comes up. It's manifested results. And so I want you to just be grateful in your hearts now. Thankful to God. Saying, God, I thank you for all the seed that I've sown. You have come into remembrance of that. You said you have not forgotten. All, I want you to bring those times, those tears, those prayers, those sacrificial givings, those things that stretched you beyond, but you stayed online. You did the right thing. All of that, God says, I have not forgotten, because now it is a time for you to harvest it. So everything that you have, beat your swords into plowshare. Beat your spears into pruning hooks. Get ready for the harvest, because you are going to harvest an abundance. It's going to be an abundance, a bountiful harvest, where the plowman will overtake the reaper, where the one who's treading grapes will overtake the planter. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. I want you to just turn your hand upward like this to God. And say, Father, I receive the harvest. I receive the harvest. You are the God who gives seed to the sower. And you're the one who gives rain for the seed. You're the one who causes the abundance of harvest. So we thank you for the harvest of blessings. Thank you for answered prayers. Thank you for harvest of souls, that as we speak to the people, We declare now is the time that they are coming into the kingdom. This is the season. We declare it. And now, Lord, I pray you will teach us how to prophesy. Teach us how to speak. Teach us how to declare according to your will and your word. So let your kingdom come and let your will be done in our lives. We celebrate the harvest. In Jesus' name, amen.